Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio, America's original 12-step radio show. From addiction to recovery, from despair to encouragement, and everything in between. This is real life. And now, Steppin' Out Radio.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alan McDougall, and I am the host of the talk show Stepping Out Radio. I'd like to just give a very, very brief introduction about what I do for a living. I work for United Steelworkers International Office out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And my role there is director of the emergency response team. And what that does very briefly is whenever our union members or brothers, sisters have a fatal incident in their families or a fatality or critical injury, I help the family or one of my coordinators helps the family as well. We're the only union that has this job, but so the reason, the link between my job and hosting this talk show is we've noticed a lot of our members and people in the communities have, we've all heard about the opioid addiction and substance abuse, so I was asked to host this show to interview members of our union and other unions that have been very successful in the world of addiction and come out the other side. So this morning I have a very good friend of mine. I used to work with him. His name is Bruce, and I'd like to welcome Bruce to the show. And Bruce, could you just tell us a little bit about how your life began with the world of alcohol?
Well, Al, it started back when I was 14 or 15, and I had thought that life was no good, so... And when I ingested alcohol, and it seemed to change my life. I started to be less shy, and I'd go out and about in the community with a different attitude because of the alcohol. Eh? And then eventually that led to some drug abuse also, and continued that way of thinking and thinking that everything was just hunky-dory. Got married when I was 21 to my first wife. Blackout, complete blackout for that whole marriage ceremony. Came through at 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting in front of a lady that I thought was my fiancé, and it was my wife. And, you know, she should have left me then, I guess, looking back at it. And so that... That progressed into a place of degression in the disease, which I didn't know nothing about at the time, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And marriage split ups, not being a father to my first child in 77, and not being a husband, you know. And I had no idea though. I thought everything was good still. And it was everybody else around me that was at fault, not Bruce. So that continued. We split up, divorced in, got a divorce in 80, and then I still continued drinking. But from 79, when I left my first wife, till 81, I was in a 2-year blackout. I managed to work, but I had no idea where I was. Okay. I believe I'm lucky to be here on this earth today because... definitely somebody was looking after me because it sure wasn't me. So I got married again and in another partial blackout with that second wife and fathered 2 more children. Notice I said fathered. I wasn't a very good father at the time or a husband again. Didn't have those skills, didn't have them because all I was interested in was in drugs and the alcohol. I progressed again, deterioration of my life degress, but I had no idea about it because the alcohol and the drugs I ingested allowed me to do what I wanted in this world, eh? And it just kept going on and till and I retract a little bit. I had a problem with something that happened to me when I was 9 years old, and I believe that was part of how come I quit living my life. I quit growing at 9, I believe. And to where it progressed to where I got to a place in 94. I had contemplated suicide in 92 also, and something stopped me, and I believe it was would call sometimes, I'd call him God, you know, that stopped me from doing that. And then I came into sobriety in 94, and I had enough. I was working, as a matter of fact, I was working at Inco at the time, and I had everything, money, houses, cars, could buy what I wanted. But I was still dead inside, and so I begged on my hands and knees for a change in my life, and I was asked to leave the household the next day, and the week after I found out I was an alcoholic, and then after that there was something else that happened that I can't share right now, but for the first time in 32 years, Bruce never thought about taking a drink, eh? And so it something changed in me that day. I wasn't happy about that change because I'm still thinking in my old way of thinking, you know, and I don't have nothing to cover it up with anymore. So, but I proceeded to not change my way of thinking, and so I still had all my character defects, if you want to call them, and I wasn't willing to change yet, and so my life was pretty miserable for that 4 years before I started to look at changing the real issues in my life, and not just a little bit, you know, because I still, at that time, I still think it's everybody else's fault, and I have nothing to do with this recovery, nothing, you know. And then when I found out I had everything to do with it, then I started to change. And when I started to change, my life started to get better. And I'm not saying that about the material things that start to come into my life. What started to come into my life, I started to have some peace. And I actually liked people. And I was less judgmental. Keep up my old behaviors, and I wanted them out of the way because they were hindering me. And actually, I learned that how to be a father. I got remarried again in 2002. My youngest boy, wanted to come back and live with me, and it was a. I had asked for my kids back, but not in the way I thought it was going to happen. And he came back and lived with me, and then I got married, and I bought another house. And important to say that I had lost four houses previous to that through the marriage separations and all that, and my dysfunctional life, eh? I didn't lose them to the bank. I had to sell them and
sure.
Get them out there and that, and in that sense. And so I continued working on myself, where my son come back and live with me, and what a joy, you know. I couldn't believe this was happening. And everything that's happened to me over my 24 years of not drinking and changing my life about has been more than I could have dreamt of. I dreamt that, you know, success was money, having a big car in the yard, maybe owning a plane and a yacht. That was my, you know, claim to success. If I could have that,
sure,
I would be happy. But it's not so. In my experience, it's not so. It's what was that I needed to be right with myself inside first, so that I could share that with my people around me and have a better life, and that's what's happening.
Wonderful. Just to back up a little bit, Bruce, first of all, thanks for sharing that. And so when you realized you needed help, where did you go anywhere in particular? Did you look up Alcoholics Anonymous, or just talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind.
The first time I was directed to Alcoholics Anonymous by a friend of mine that was in the program at the time, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was after 4 years of sobriety, I was redirected. I went to the EAP with my local 6500.
Okay.
And for some help there. And they directed me to go to, actually suggested, you know, that maybe it'd be a good idea to go to treatment, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even drinking. And so I was a little bit, my pride was a little bit hurt, and I got a little bit angry with the person, and I wanted to run. But the guys knew what they were doing, so they kind of kept me from running.
Yeah.
And they got me to pick up the phone and do the call. And that, again, that was a big change for me to help me to start. That was when I started to really change. There was a direction that was given to me. I believe it was they knew what they were doing, but they were put in my path. And I'll never forget that. That was a life changer for me to have somebody grab me and say, okay, maybe you need to do this. And
sure.
Anyway.
But as much credit as you give to them, rightfully so, you Bruce, had to do the work.
That's basically what it comes down to, Al. Nobody could do it for me. And when I started doing the work, the progress was there. It's the proof is in the pudding, as they call it.
Right.
It's I'm not perfect today. I lead a very joyful, peaceful day days, and it's not ended. That's what I like about this. Is there's more coming down the pipe.
Right.
Anyway.
It's something like the movie Groundhog Day. You wake up and you have a brand new start every day.
Yeah. Could say that. That's what I come in to believe. Today is the only day I got. And what can I do today to make my life better and maybe somebody else's, you know, help somebody else with their life. That's important. That's an important part of my life also is reaching out. And if wherever somebody wants help to be there,
sure.
No matter what. I could tell you that when I do that, it's never at my convenience. People have called me at different times of the night or go, and I say, well, I'm going to go here, and I want to go in my head. I got an appointment already, but yet somebody's reaching out. So I found it that it's best for me to make that a priority, not because I have to.
Yes.
Because I want to. And then I get back more than what I give out. I tell you that from my experience. I do some other volunteer work, and they tell me their story, and I say, wow, I could have been there.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me about waking up in a blackout and being charged for vehicular manslaughter, you know?
Yes.
And I can relate to that. Not the vehicular manslaughter, but being blackouts. And so by helping others, I can see that they've helped me by telling me their stories, so I don't have to go back out and go back to the old Bruce, which I didn't like.
Exactly. So after being in a world of success, if you would, one day at a time for quite some time now, Bruce, do you still attend meetings?
Yes, I go to meetings. I probably average about three a day. A week, I mean. Sorry, mm-hmm. Not a day.
Sure.
I got a home group. I still have a sponsor. I believe I'm very active. Yeah, I am very active, and I don't believe that I want to quit this because it's given me my life back.
Sure.
You know, it's a way of life that is very rewarding.
Yes. It's a pretty... I still go to meetings myself, and it's a pretty cheap insurance policy to pay 1 hour a day, or 1 hour every day you go to a meeting. That's a pretty cheap insurance policy to have sobriety and to have contented sobriety.
It is.
So in the next few minutes or so, I want to thank you for talking about your life and your candidness. I'd like you to think about maybe some comments or thoughts or something, a message, if you would, to give to the listeners that are going to be listening to this program in the future. Anything come to your mind or your heart or your soul?
The one thing that comes, that's been coming to me for the last two or three months, is about the willingness to change and the acceptance, the when anything at wrong in my world, it's what I need to change. And it goes back to the willingness to change. So it's possible to live a good life, like I'm having, not perfect, but good, mm-hmm. because of the willingness and the acceptance of others. That's what I would say. And I have to go with a belief in a higher power that I could not do it by myself. I could never do it without the higher power, as simple as it is.
Wonderful, Bruce. I want to thank you. You've made an impact on me over the years, and I want to wish you the best and continued success and sobriety one day at a time. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you all for asking me to come here.
Great job.